November 22, 2023 is the Wife Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Start off with John Coltrane. Another live excerpt of that March 2nd, 1963 gig at Birdland. Mr. PC wrote that for Mr. Paul Chambers, great bass man. And then we had, let's see if I get this right, CRDO times XDL, Ghost in the Machine. No, yeah, maybe it's Machine. Match 1 and 3. And you can tell people probably that voice there lets you know that I'm not in man alone mode because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me Adrian Cervantes. Welcome aboard, Adrian.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to give respect first to Randolph for the connect there. Please bring, I'm interested in your journey with music. Your earliest musical recollection, please, Adrian.
My earliest recollection, man. This is gonna take up the whole the podcast here.
We don't use that P word, but that's okay.
All right, my bad. Thanks for letting me know.
It's all right.
So my earliest musical recollection. Well, I don't come from a very musical family per se, but I guess my earliest musical memory is, I think one time I was at a Costco, and I think I was probably like 7 years old, okay? And I find a piano. They always got the most random shit at Costco. And so there's a piano there, and I just start jamming out on this piano.
Wow.
And like, volume completely up, okay? I'm like 6 or 7 years old. A crowd of people are just like watching me completely mess around on this piano. And I think that's like the earliest.
You know what? That might have been your first gig.
Yeah, so I was going to say, that's probably my first like live improvisation gig.
Yeah. That's a trip. Now, you're saying not quite a musical situation at home, so there's no like instruments in the pad. You have to go to the Costco.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. I didn't grow up with instruments around me. I only saw them in store shelves.
Well, let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
No, I grew up as a, my brother started off as a violin player.
Yeah.
And as the younger brother, it was like my duty to just like one up him on that.
Yeah.
So I played the cello. I started off on violin.
Okay.
In about fourth grade, played it for 2 years. Decided I hated it.
Yeah.
And they were like, we need a cellist in this orchestra. So I was like, yeah, I want to play that because it's bigger.
Yeah.
And so then I find myself playing cello, and I stick with it till now, actually. And that's, yeah. So I've been in orchestras and symphonies probably was most of my performing career.
Whoa. Okay. And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
The first record I bought with my own money is, okay, well, there's two things to this. Okay. The first record I bought with my parents' money was...
A little different.
Neutral Milk Hotel's fucking In the Aeroplane Over the Sea.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little hipster kid in middle school. So,
okay.
that was like the indie record that all the cool kids played. And then I think at the same time I also bought Miles Davis's Kind of Blue.
Oh.
Those two. And that's with my parents' money. And then...
That's got Paul Chambers. And also last record with John Coltrane.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last record I bought with my first, like, job, and I had my own money was, what was that I bought? Oh, it was Harumi Hosono's Hosonova.
Man, what?
Yeah.
How'd you get hip to that?
And man, I was in, I don't know, like, I kind of grew up on the internet and like in online circles, so
cats, we're talking about it. All right.
See, there is a good side to the internet, people. It's not just used for spreading lies and hate. It can be also for, like, getting turned on to righteous music.
Yeah. And, like, I go straight up surfing on YouTube. And, you know, that fast pace, I listen to 10 seconds of a record, decide it's cool, and I just add it to my library, and I probably never listen to it again. But, you know, I know 10 seconds of this record, and I know it exists. So, you know, that's something.
Yeah. I know what you mean. What about the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw, this is kind of embarrassing, but besides all the gigs I was forced to see in elementary school, where they had, like, little groups come and perform, like, theater and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The first actual, like, gig I went to, it was a Lindsey Stirling concert, of all things. yeah.
That's all right, man. A lot of times you don't pick that stuff like that, just happens.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, you know, because everybody's got a first gig, right? You can only have it once.
Yeah.
You know, after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon. Now, I know you're with the school band and stuff, doing the cello and all that, but did you get into, like, the bedroom band, basement band, garage band thing with your friends?
I mean, so I'm a member of the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble with Lee.
As
you mentioned Lee at the beginning.
Sure.
So that, you know, that's kind of my underground bedroom scene right now, actually.
But did you have one back in the school days?
I'm still in college right now. And
well, I meant more like the... Like when you were surfing the internet and doing that stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, for sure. No, I think most of back then was just like I was on the stage, you know, the more formal performance stage, like the symphony hall or just my school's theater/concert hall. That was kind of my the most underground it got for me because I went to a Title I school. So they didn't have that much money. So, like, 10 people would show up to the concerts because it'd be, like, at 7 p.m. and parents got to work. So, like, they just couldn't come to the shows.
Oh.
So that was, if you want to consider that an underground gig.
Well, no, I was thinking more of this thing, like, where it's, like, people your own age after school, you know, in the afternoon, they just want to start. Somebody's got a drum set, somebody's got a bass amp, somebody's got a guitar amp, a guitar, you know, somebody's got an organ or something. That's what I was talking about, more like that.
Yeah. No, I think I'd say no for that.
Okay. Yeah, you know, look, it's one of the reasons why I do this show. I want to show people that music comes from all different kinds of pathways, you know. Everything leads to now, and... Mm-hmm. I haven't had two people on this show that's had the exact kind of adventure some other cat has. So it's okay. There's no wrong answers to that question. You gave me this music here, Shoplifter, spelled kind of trippy.
Yeah. Something
on your own. Let me play that right now.
3, 2, 1, play.
You could spend your dollar on this, or you could spend it on this. This. Or this. Or if you get 10 delicious items on Taco Bell's new dollar morning value menu.
Thank you. Thank you. What will I do with see them gathering out my door. Pretty soon they'll be screaming for more. Come on, take a little stroll with me. I'll show you how man has got to be. Street in my lap of pursuit.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started with Adrian Cervantes doing Shoplift. After that, J.D. Pincus, Tall Trees, doing Ponder Machine. J.D. Pincus used to do bass for Butthole Surfers. He's now on banjo. Jim O'Rourke, Henry Kaiser, John Oswald, and Mari Kimura with Warm Gray to Pale Yellow. And that's gray with spelled with an E. Jess Joy, My Body, Marnie Stern, The Natural, BXMR, Eve's Navel. That's Brother Bruno. He was on the show last week. Position Normal, Whistle Conversion, Part 8 of 10. Circus Devils, Bob Pollard, Cy Proj, Vanina Vanini. This is CRDO, Brother Adrian here, his proj. Y la mayor de todas es ver la vida como es no ya. No como debería ser. Okay, something from last year. Back to your journey. So tell me about this song, Shoplifter.
Yeah, so I'm a composer by trade, which I guess means that I make sheet music for my pieces. And the way I do it is I got an interesting thing. The way I make my music is I'll use these things called graphic scores.
Ah, yeah.
And I'm sure you know all about.
Well, I've had some cats on the show that they've talked about.
Yeah.
This. It's let's tell the listeners. It's a new way. You understand when a composer, a cat who creates music, he has to, you know, bring this over to the musicians who are going to play it. So in the old days, it was kind of this way of putting, I think it came out of Italy because a lot of the terminology is in Italian. It's probably from the opera days. So there was a way of explaining the cat's music to the people who are going to play it through this kind of conventions using Italian words, notes on staffs. But that got kind of old-fashioned for more modern kinds of ways of, composing music. And so other ways of transmitting what the composer, the cat who came up with the piece, can get to the people who are going to execute it. So tell me about your way, Adrian.
Yeah, so my way of doing that is instead of using like a digital program to make my sheet music, I'll actually do physical paintings. And these paintings will like also have instructions for the performance of them. So like I'll put a big painting in front of eight of my friends, which was that piece was being performed by the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble. Uh-huh. And everyone in there is my friends. These are like my closest friends performing this right now.
Yeah.
And I think I did that recording with Austin Rich and
Austin Rich just gave me some music from his Mini Mutilations project. Mutations.
So I think I'm recording in that with Austin Rich and so that piece was recorded live with them, not by the Eugene Difficult Music Ensemble.
Okay.
But anyways, there's this painting that I brought three paintings, put them in front of us, and they got like Yu-Gi-Oh cards on them. It's like that are like cut up and pasted on there. And there's like these really abstract backgrounds on them, and each one's unique. So it's like kind of like sheet music in that way, where every person has their own part,
right?
And it's notated, And so I can just make like 10 of this in this series called Shoplifter,
yeah.
Which the name is actually kind of interesting. The name, the original inspiration for this piece was. I grew up around stores a lot. Like I mentioned, I went to Costco.
Sure.
So a lot of times outside of these retail places, I'd like find piles of Yu-Gi-Oh cards and Pokemon cards just like on the ground. And it's like happened an interesting amount of times to the point that it's kind of weird. And like the only thing I can think of is some kid was probably stealing and like they just ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I was raised online, so I just got curious one day and Googled that. I Googled, like, put Yu-Gi-Oh cards in parking lot or something ridiculous like that. And I, like, went on a browsing spree where I then started looking up, like, shoplifting and stuff around shoplifting. And I stumbled, you know, of all things, I stumbled upon a porn website that was
okay.
Literally all about, like search downs and stuff like that. And I thought, this is what I love about the internet. It's like, I started off with Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Right.
And ended up at this, like, this pornography website. And I thought, you know, this is a great title for this work. So that's where the name comes from. And, you know, like I mentioned, the paintings themselves have Yu-Gi-Oh cards on them. And there's a few instructions that go along with it, but it's not as important. It's pretty improvisational.
And what about painting? Did you learn painting in school?
No.
So you're, okay, autodidact, okay.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a means to an end. You wanted to get a means to get your music to the people who are going to play it with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I can't compose, like, in notation software, which is what they use to, like, write the staves and stuff like that.
Right.
Instead of writing it pen to paper. And, you know, I thought it was interesting because, like, a brush and paint is the same thing as that, like, pen and paper.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit of where that idea came from, to start moving to doing paintings instead of using notation software.
Also, instrumentation has changed from those days, right? Everything's got woodwinds,
yeah.
And yeah, you have electronic stuff. How do you use the old way of notation for that, you know?
No, exactly. This is one of the biggest things and my favorite thing about graphic scores is how accessible they are to everybody, okay? And, like, the thing I, like, especially being as part of this ensemble, we often will play stuff that's composers are scoring for, like, electronics and stuff. And the electronics have to be pretty improvisatory because, like, you're right. How do you write for that?
Right.
And so the thing I love about graphic scores and the reason why so many of my pieces have lots of improvisatory nature is that, like, it lets those instruments that, like, even considering guitar pedals as instruments, like, that it lets those instruments have a space where they can perform too, just alongside like the cello or the violin.
Yeah. And actually you get some probably, what do we call it? Fortunate accidents.
Yeah. There's some beautiful moments in these pieces sometimes. And you know, in this piece specifically, Austin was playing some, I think he was using some electronic stuff, and so was the other person. And I think I was playing the cello on there for a bit, and it's just really interesting to have that, like, that combination of instruments that's going on at the same time.
And this, I don't know, moniker, CRDO, what's this stand for?
Oh, yeah, CRDO is Credo.
Ah, Credo, with the vowels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people, credo is sort of like what you stand for and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of my music taste kind of comes from the vaporwave scene.
What's that? What's vaporwave?
Vaporwave is this, it started off as like an internet meme probably in around, I think, damn, when did Vectroid release Macintosh Plus? 2011, 2013? And they're a Portland, Oregon-based artist. And it's basically this genre of music characterized by, like, samples from 80s pop music, yeah. And they're, like, slowed down a lot of the times, and they have all these really, like, pretty simplistic effects put on them that, at least to start off with, eventually the genre gets more complex, and, like, there's, like, ambient vaporwave and stuff like that, but to start off, it's just, like, slowed down samples with lots of reverb put on them, and the art that goes along with them is just as important as the music, and that because you know that this type of genre is so influential for me, again, I get that, like, sort of mixing, like, breaking the boundaries of art and music from this genre, because the pictures are just as cool as the music, and are just as important to understanding the music as understanding the music for the pictures. And so, like, a lot of these artists will have monikers or secrets, like pseudonames that they'll use. And I just thought Credo fit. So that's where that project name comes
from. No, I think you're on to something. You know, when I think of that, are you aware of this movie, Orson Welles, the Third Man?
I've heard of it.
Well, it's got the Ziffer music. You cannot separate that music from that film. You know, and you know, it's all artistic expression anyway. Why should there be walls in between?
You're totally right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I feel. My best friend, Raymond Pettibone, you know, I always thought we were kind of, you know, just like I was on bass and he was maybe on the drums, but it was ink and pen. But for some reason, because the gatekeepers say, no, this is different. I hate that. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, November 22, 2023, of this What Pedro So Special Guest, Adrian Cervantes. Hold tight for hour two. November 22nd, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watch from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show start off the second hour with Credo doing Pa. I think it was during the same, because it's got the same date as that other Credo song we heard last hour. The 1164s. There's right there, Travis. Normal Man. Austin, rather. What am I saying, Travis? Fuck. Normal Man. Whatever that is. Austin, Anti-Industry after that was Synergetic Tremors. Platypop out of Goose Shatter gave me the CD at New York City gig tour I just did. And then finally, Adrian Cervantes, NBC, 540-99-90-02. I don't know what those numbers mean, but they must have some significance. Hip us to that, Adrian.
Yeah, so NBC stands for Natural Born Citizen. And this is also one of those graphic score painting pieces that I've composed. My family. I'll get. This is going to be a long story, but
sorry.
I promise there's a means to an end here. My great grandparents came to the United States as part of the Bracero program in the 1940s.
Yeah.
And my great grandfather was one of the first people from. From the little ranch I'm from in Mexico, to be the first people to come from that ranch to Oregon and as part of that program. And that kind of like planted roots for my family to migrate over. My grandparents and parents came, at the same time when that happened. And soon after, they came around 1995, I think. And, pretty soon after that, I was born, and of course, my parents were migrants, and I was given immediate citizenship because I was what the federal government now calls as a natural born citizen.
Right.
And my parents had to go through this painstaking process of getting their papers. The Bracero program helped them a lot with that because of the roots that had been planted because of it.
Right.
It's still a hell of a process even then. I was reflecting on that a lot with this composition of paintings. And those numbers you talked about are actually sold, like it's layered like a social security number.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I think that's interesting that, you know, you get this number attached to you immediately when you're given this citizenship. And like that, it's just this representational number of your identity in some ways. And the paintings, the last number in the paintings is so that 02 in the last four numbers.
Right.
It corresponds to which painting that is in the series. So this is the second painting I've done for this composition, but I have four other ones that I've done.
Whoa,
and those ones will end in 9003, 4, 5, and 6, respectively.
What about this tune under Credo, Pa?
Yeah, so the little ranch I'm from in Mexico, Pa is like what we used to call my grandfather. And so I don't come from a musical background, okay? But the little ranch that I'm from in Mexico, they like music is just kind of different there. Like it's an activity they do on the streets at like 10 p.m. when they're all drunk. And so the guitars are out of tune and people are singing. They're singing corridos, so like ballads and ballads. And they're just having fun. They're having a great time talking about their days and stuff like that. And they don't really care about any sort of the systems and structures in place other than the fact that they're enjoying themselves and discussing the stuff that's like been going on in their lives. And my grandfather was known in my town for having this great voice and being able to play the guitar. And a few days before he had passed away in 2018, someone on the streets had recorded this video of him singing the song. And what I did is, like, I took that video from – they uploaded it to YouTube, and I took that video from YouTube, sampled it, and put it in this song, Pa, which is what you hear in it. It's this vapor waved processed version of the recording of my grandfather a few days before he passed away.
Wow. That's interesting. A kind of document.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what, that's what works are in a way. They're kind of a document, a place and time, a feeling. Really interesting. You gave me a, here's another credo tune, Nacimiento. Let's listen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Stop on the couch, and it's a gun. I'm a coward. Ha ha ha!
From Pedro Show, that chunk of music start Credo doing Nacimiento. Then L7. This is the one with the letters, not the number, out of Michigan, not Southern California. Rapping to Larissa. She's great. We lost her a few years ago, but she was in a band called Laughing Hyenas, too. Incredible. M.B. Jones after that. And Ray Sapiens, not like Tony Stark. This is draft one. I guess they're still developing. Jeff Bishop and Damon Smith after that with Uni Device. Ray Shin with Carrie in the Funeral Limo. And finally, La Paz, Querido, Peace. Or it's a town too, right, La Paz?
Yeah.
All right. You want to enlighten us to anything about... But when you're making music as Credo, how's it different than making music as Adrian Cervantes?
It's not really.
That's what I thought.
I use the alias, right? But that's because that's what you do in the genre. Like, you don't really. I wouldn't make vaporwave music as Adrian Cervantes, because then I wouldn't really be making vaporwave music. So the name is just like something I kind of had to do, and the way the vaporwave is this process of like sampling and adding effects and taking it's very heavy on the sampling, and what I'll often do is take materials, samples from like media that I loved as a child, or like stuff that I associate with childhood and nostalgic stuff. Video games or old internet memes that I loved. And, you know, I'll put that into my music as Credo. And I'll do the same thing on my paintings. They're paintings, but they're actually collage works. So I'll take, comic books and I'll cut them up like old DC and Marvel comic books that I bought from garage sales as a kid. And I'll cut them up and use that stuff and as materials for my notation, quote unquote, on my paintings, for my compositions. And they'll be I think recently I've been using Pokemon cards, these fake bootleg gold Pokemon cards. But that's not like, you know, that's the same, it's the same, really.
Well, you know, it's making me think of, tell me if I'm out of base, out of bounds here, but I'm thinking of Marcel Duchamp. You know, he's had these things called ready-mades. And, like, he took a pisser, and he signed it R. Mutt. So, like, he couldn't put Marcel Duchamp there, right? Because that was the point of saying anything. I say this is art, so, because it's got an artist's name on it. Is that kind of similar?
You were right on the money, because, you know, here's the really interesting, the most interesting part of that work for me is when Brian Eno takes a piss on it.
Yeah.
Okay. He returns it back from this art object to like an actual functional piece. And you know, it's so interesting because it goes from, it walks the spectrum of like, where does that piece of artwork go from being an artwork to, just a piece of, functional things. And like instruments are the exact same way.
Yeah.
Like it's like this, the only reason that a piano is, we don't question whether it's a piano, is like because there's so much history and there's so much culture constantly that's been reinforcing the piano as this instrument. We just don't question it.
But we wouldn't call it like a a paper holder because some people like, right? They use it for a thing to stack papers on.
It's completely cultural based. Like,
right.
Someone does walk into a piano room and they're like, these are paper holders. You know, like, what?
That's
like,
great, Adrian. That's great. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 23. No, 22nd. What? Don't lose that day. 2023. This is Juan Pedro Soto, special guest Adrian Cervantes. Hold tight for hour three. November 22nd, 2023, third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
there's the old piss bottle, but there ain't no soil bag. There's the old piss bottle, but there ain't no soil bag. Gonna have to hold it through this traffic jam. Can't see no exit and we're moving inch by inch. Can't see no exit and we're moving inch by inch. Gonna burst soon if I can't pinch my pinch. I got the wiggle at the wheel. 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 Got the wah-wee, wah-wah wiggle at the wheel.
First, I'd be much obliged.
'Cause it's been a real long trip.
protective headgear to protect her from the Martians. She's always sitting up front of the bus. Little David's wearing his captain hat today. He likes to wear a different hat every day. And his outfits have changed down quite a bit. Chinese lady with aluminum foil. Sitting up front of the bus. Chinese lady with aluminum foil. She likes to wear a protective layer underneath her shirt. Sometimes she wears a bonnet held in place with rubber bands. Her ankles are covered in aluminum foil to protect her from the invasion of the Martians and the radiation. She likes to put foil into her nostrils. Chinese lady with aluminum foil. She never loved nobody, never hurt nobody. Always been so lonely, always looked so lonely. Chinese lady with aluminum foil. She likes to wear a flat top. Chinese lady with aluminum foil. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show start of third hour. This is like we start off the show. Big ol' collab here. Credo and XDL with Ghost of the Machine doing It's a Huge Scorpion with Evil Soul / Rebel B Limitation Zone / Death Counterwork. It's, yeah. Noisuka after that, brand new. Wiggle at the Wheel. Tobin Sprout, Grovel Away. A collection of odds and ends from him. Hillmore Flames, Driving While Cool. Carnage Asada, Chinese Lady, Aluminum Foil. That's out of here, SoCal. Brother Steve Reed on the drums. And finally, Adrian Cervantes, Entering My New Era, Multiple. So, you're entering multiple new eras. Maybe. I mean, how important are titles? Where do they come in the process? At the end, in the middle, at the beginning?
You know, I think for everything I've done so far, I think I can safely say the names have come from the end, like very at the end of the process.
Okay.
And the thing is like I often collaborate a lot for my stuff, whether that be with one person or like me literally putting the track on Instagram and asking people what they would call this and like picking which one I like from there. And
you don't need know these people, right? There's just random cats. That,
yeah,
answering that, back.
It'll okay. be friends sometimes, and it'll just be random people too. And it's I love having like including other people in the process of naming something.
Yeah,
because and the names just like sometimes when I collaborate with people, like for the Ghost in the Machine album is a collaboration.
Yeah, but what about the first piece that I played on the third hour here with all the different parts? What was that collaboration made of?
Yeah, is that the Credo XDL one you're referring to? So the way we divided this track is I did three tracks, he did three tracks, and then the other three tracks were collaborative tracks. And some like the way we like the process of making this album was we took color gradients, random color gradients, and we used them as inspiration for the tracks. And obviously understanding that people are going to have different associations with the color. It was just like this procedural thing. And the name of that project kind of just came, like this whole album is tied with this, with creepypastas. I'm not sure if you're familiar with creepypastas.
Creepypastas? No, that's new for me.
Yeah. they're these internet folklore stories that are fake. And you ever heard of Slender Man?
Oh yeah. I remember that.
Yeah,
it's controversy over
Slender Man is probably the most famous creepypasta. And so growing up, because I was raised online, like I would always watch a bunch of video games, videos and like playthroughs of Pokemon games, and somehow, for whatever reason, these internet folklore pieces often are about video games. And people will make like whole-on video games based off of these stories. And you can like watch them, and they have their own music and stuff like that. So this album is kind of based off of these specific video game creepypastas that me and Owen grew up, me and my friend Owen, who is XDL.
Okay.
Grew up with playing. We kind of got the Ghost in the Machine idea because I forget what Ghost in the Machine refers to.
Well, synchronicity, something Carl Jung. And yeah. Then that bass player Sting kind of connected them.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Man, the world's a trip. But you're saying, in a way, this stuff is informed by kind of a culture, an internet culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, really interesting. Okay, I want to play last chunk of music here. You got some more Credo. And also collab with your buddy XDL. Let's listen.
bend and stay, watching the fireworks from the pier. Heard someone say, spirit that delivered us is near. Then up to the levee, the night is getting heavy. We are stoned again. Oh, I want to hold you. The crowd's still swaying.
Hey!
Lot for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Start chunk off with Credo doing Encontre Alguien Pero No Lo Reconozca. Let's see, I do my fucking lame ass güero Espanol. I'm trying though. It's beautiful language. Post-Homo Hubris Jazz after that side four excerpt. This came from Randolph. Brother Randolph. Jeffrey Clark and the River's Edge Quintet doing Swan, which is a Roshi Jose performance. And then Ghost in the Machine intro. Credo and XDL, Ghost in the Machine. Aswan Ghost TV? Ghost V? I don't know if I got that right. Ghost in the Machine intro, I guess. A really short piece. Maybe I got the sequence of all these pieces. I don't know how I came up with where we played them during the show, but...
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. Maybe it was a random thing. I don't know how I came up with how I did, but... Yeah, well, I love what you gave me, and I'm curious, what's next?
What's next?
Yeah.
Right now, I'm working on a... I got at the University of Oregon where I'm at, I'm exhibiting first week of winter term in like 3 or 4 weeks. I'll be doing my first like actual art show, where I'll have my paintings, just in like a corner of a room. Like it's like there's five artists and I just have one wall, but I'm doing, I'll be showing a bunch of paintings there. So it'll be the first time that like people will see the visuals at the same time they're seeing or hearing the music, because I'm going to play some of the audio, like the NBC recording that I sent you, will be playing there too. And I'm going to try and have some live performances, but we'll see how that happens with that.
So your first art show is actually the exhibition of your scores.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to hear it at the same time. Okay, what, you're going to have like some kind of loop set up or where it's continually playing?
Yeah, that's the plan, I think.
Okay, were you part of the... In the fall, they had a difficult music festival, right?
Yeah.
Were you just part of that?
I was.
Okay. How'd it go?
It went great. We had lots of composers.
Yeah.
I played a lot of really interesting music. I'm excited because I also do the interviews as part of the EDME Radio Hour with Lee.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to, like, after performing their works, now get to like go interview them and just ask them a bunch of questions, and they're really cool music and, you know, their processes and stuff. It's truly like a blessing that I get access to such great people in those interviews, and they like all the stuff they share with me, like, is always really informative of my work, and I think of them as always like mentors in that way. Or collaborators, even though they're not listed as collaborators on my albums, because how could I list everyone who's ever had an influence on me, you know?
Yeah, but, you're talking like inspiration and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And would you say, and there's probably big age differences in location, geography, nationality, stuff like this, but don't matter, right? Would you say there's kind of a scene?
Yeah, I would for sure say there's definitely... people do completely different things all the time, but it all kind of exists on the spectrum, but like there's definitely some idea and thematic concepts that I've seen come up over and over again. And like they kind of, all like, they all work to build this culture of like what contemporary composition, is kind of informed by.
Would you say converge?
Yeah, I would say that.
So people, they got their own worlds going, parallel universes in this, but then they kind of intersect too at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like,
so in a way, yeah, like your future plans is based on like how things are going and what you're hearing and stuff, because these people, you say, kind of contribute to what you're bringing. So, yeah, it's like the whole idea of improvisation, I guess. Who goes first? Yeah. I've always been tripping on that kind of dynamic, like who goes first and who's the listener first. Trippy. Maybe taking turns is the best way to do it. I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to put the invite right out here to you, Adrian. You get some more pieces recorded and stuff. Can we have you back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
For sure.
Ah, always. Thank you so much. Love it. Love it. Love it. Can't wait to hear what next for whatever sombrero you're wearing, the Adrian Cervantes or the Credo one. Or the collabs too, man. I can't wait. Bring it, please, when you're ready. People, it's been November 22nd, 2023, and this is Watt Pito Show. Keep your powder dry.